Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. I'm excited to hang out with you guys again tonight. We're talking about pillars of power again. I just telling Roxanne, I think this is going to be the last pillar we talk about, but we'll kind of see where God leads us next week. First couple weeks, we talked about the pillars of power. The first one was the preparation. We went over that and talked about how to get ready to tap into the power that God has for us, we have to prepare for it. And Abraham had to prepare his faith. Moses had to prepare to follow directions. And then we talked about perseverance last week. Talked about Joshua and his perseverance and that pillar of power, meaning we just got to kind of work through it and get through it. And talked about Joshua teaching us how to walk through those difficult times in his life. Job teaching us how, even in the midst of the crazy stuff he went through, he always worshiped God, and he was able to keep God in that top spot and allow God to have that sovereign control over his life. And that's so critical in our lives as we see things around us get a little bit sketchy, to remember that as we continue to worship him, not just by singing songs or standing up and raising your hands in church or anything like that, but through that life of worship, we see that God allows us to begin to experience that power as we continue to go. And we also talked about Daniel's willpower and how when he was in Babylonian captivity, he was able to use that willpower to keep himself clean and to keep and resist those desires and those things that Nebuchadnezzar brought before him to keep his eyes off of his God. And how important it is in our lives to keep our eyes focused on where we're going and what God wants us to do, and that helps us to work forward to more of that power. Tonight we're going to talk about the last pillar of power, and that being providence. And providence has a fairly simple definition. My definition would be that it's protection or care that is divine in nature. So basically, it's how God protects us and how God cares for us and provides for us, but the emphasis being on where that source is, and providence being him and that source being divine. So tonight, before we jump into that, let's pray together and we'll get started. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this beautiful, wonderful weather that you've blessed us with this last little bit. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to speak, God, to your people. I pray that you would help use me today to speak a word that's clear and concise, God, and just able to be easy to understand, and God, just that helps us to understand more about you. I pray that you would be with those members of our church, God, who are hurting in whatever way that may be. And God, even our family members or friends who are not a part of this body, but maybe a part of your body. And we pray that you just bless them and go to them and meet that need, whatever it is. God, help us to continue to seek you out. Help us to continue to look for you, God, and help us to continue to try to find you in a difficult time where it seems like it's a little bit harder to find you than it used to be. I pray that you help us with that. Help me tonight, God. Just get me out of the way. Help me be able to speak a word to your people. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so talking about providence and that being a pillar of power. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, I find myself in these seasons where maybe couple different reasons, but a lot of times for me, it's when things are just kind of so-so. Life's kind of been a little bit smooth sailing. I don't have really any major issues to deal with. They're not really great, but they're not really bad either. And when I find myself in those situations and in those times in my life, I see that I don't rely on God like I need to, or I don't really think about God being the source of all the things that are good to me like I need to, because I'm not experiencing anything difficult. I'm not really dealing with anything that's major. So I feel like I can kind of generate my own power at that point. And that in and of itself is not a terrible thing. But what happens is it creates this kind of lifestyle of ambivalence. And we know that ambivalence is just really detrimental to furthering the kingdom of God. And so one of the some of the stuff that I see that I'm doing in those situations is that I still maybe check all the boxes that I usually do as a Christian, but they're not as heartfelt. I'm drawing from a different well. I'm pulling from a different place inside of me, and I'm making these synthetic ways to do it. And what that looks like is you've probably been on the other side of this as well, but what it looks like, I begin to try to encourage people, but what comes out of my mouth is mainly cliches or the stuff you see on Christian bumper stickers or Christian t-shirts, and it doesn't really feel heartfelt. And it doesn't really feel impactful. And I'm sure all of us have been in that season in our life where we look to a Christian friend, brother, sister, pastor, or something like that, and we may have gotten one of those responses that's just, you know, let go and let God, or those things, you know, pray until something happens, or all those things. Like, they just end up being cliches, because in that season in our life, we are trying, but because we're not tapped into the right power source, because we're not thinking about exactly where the good stuff that we have comes from, we begin to try to generate this synthetic form of it. And what ends up happening is it's just empty. It's just not the same. It's you can tell it's man-made. It's not divine. And that's one of the things that I want to point out tonight, is that this providence of power and this pillar of providence is just a complete reflection and introspective look at ourselves to say, man, what am I tapping into? Am I plugged into this? Am I pulling from the right source? Am I doing the right thing here? That's what I want you to think about tonight as we get started. Just kind of think about the introspectively, take a look inside yourself and just say, where am I at? Am I coasting here? Am I making my own stuff? Am I generating my own power? What's up with it? So to further talk about the power source, I feel like it's critical to talk about what it looks like to be a Christian today, and to do it right and to do it not so right. So as Christians in America, I feel like this is a time where we've all gotten spoiled to the way we do things. And for years and years and years, there's been a way we can do things that's easy. 2020, like everything else, church became a lot more difficult to attend. It became a lot more difficult to be a part of. And what we saw in that was, what I saw personally, was it was a lot harder for me to feel like I had the energy or the go or the ambition down inside me later in the week to be able to do what I needed to do. And as I began to assess that, I realized that I was treating my life as a Christian like I treat my cell phone, where I plug it in every night and I charge it up, but then in the morning I get up and I unplug it. And I go through the day and I start to do this or that, and some days I use my phone more than others, and most of the time by the end of the day, the battery's dead. I don't have anything left. And what happens is we've done that for a long time as Christians. We come in on Sunday morning, we come maybe on a Sunday night, maybe on a Wednesday night. We come in, we charge our batteries, and we roll out. And that's great. That's an awesome thing to do. But what happens is on a Monday, on a Tuesday, or Thursday, or Friday, we see that maybe we're not able to give, or maybe we're not able to live that life we want to live because we just don't have the strength to do it. And this week was really funny. I had, you know, a kind of a real life example of this. My wife and I, we bought a camper this week, and we've been looking for one for a long time. We picked it up Sunday afternoon, came home, and we got it in the house or to the driveway. My kids were stoked. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen them more excited about anything. And so we get it there, we unlock all the doors and everything, we go inside it, and the only power that it has was the battery power on the camper, because we didn't have the right hookup at first to plug it into our house. So we walk into the camper, they want to see everything, so I turn on a light. And I turn on a light and we can see what's right there. And we walk a little further in the camper and I turn on another light and another light and another light. And I noticed as I turned on more lights, they got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Because even though the battery on the camper was good, it was a good battery, it worked well. When things started pulling on that battery from multiple directions, the light just kept getting dimmer and dimmer. And I almost laughed out loud in the moment as I saw it, because God literally said, hey, look at this. This is cool. This works with what we're going to talk about this week. And I was reminded about how many times in my life where when I'm trying to live my life on Christian battery power, when I try to just charge up and roll on, I can do it for a little while. If I just left one light on, it was really bright. If I was just doing one thing through that week, it would be really bright. But as my family pulled on me, my job pulled on me, and my social engagements, whatever they may be for that week, pulled against me, and just stressors of life in general, that light becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And what happened was, once we got all of our lights on, we could barely see inside the camper because it was pretty dark when we got it home. But shortly after that, we found a way that we can plug it up to our house outside. Don't have the exact right hookup yet. I'm working on all that stuff. I'm brand new at this. I feel like I'm going to have a crash course shortly. But anyway, what happened when we plugged it in? The second we plugged it in, all of the lights were as bright as they should be. Immediately, they were as bright as they should be because we plugged into the source. And I started thinking about that this week, and that really spoke to me because there's so many times in my life where I just try to make God so portable, and I try to make my Christian life so portable that I don't stay connected, and I don't try to stay plugged in, and I don't try to do that. And I think it's probably more common than we would like to admit as Christians that we try to do that. And scripture tonight, I want to read for you guys. It's in John chapter 15, and it's verse 5 through 8. We'll go through this real quick. Holman Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you may produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." And you're like, Lord, we're talking about power here. We're not talking about vineyards and gardens and stuff like that. But when I thought about this, I thought about how critical it is to be a part of that main vine, to be plugged in and be one of those branches to Jesus and be right there on that main vine and what that looks like. And it's really easy to disconnect now because we're so used to being able to take our phones with us, and we're so used to being able to take our tablets with us and our computers and all these things. It's our lives have been made to be portable, that we feel like we can disengage and unplug from God and do the same thing and be effective. But what God is telling us here in John chapter 15 is that Jesus is that vine. And when we're plugged into him, and when we're one of those healthy branches that are connected to him with a good connection, we can produce much fruit. And as we begin to produce much fruit, that shows that what is coming into us, we're able to give to the other people. We're able to deliver things to people that are going to help them, that are going to sustain them, and all of those things that we try to do as Christians. And we try to impact the world around us in a positive way. We try to change the world. All those things that you hear me talk about all the time. When we're abiding in him and we stay in that vine and we stay plugged into that vine, we see that we can produce much fruit. But what happens is sometimes that connection gets broken or it's not exactly right. And I know if you use Apple or iPhone, you know what that's about, because every 10 days, I feel like I have to go find another charger because the connection doesn't stay exactly right. I pull on it wrong, it gets messed up, and it doesn't work. It's not plugged in. It's not charging. It's not receiving the power that it needs to. So tonight, I want to talk to you about just being plugged into that and being a part of that vine and making sure that connection is the way it should be. And then that allows God to use us to not only produce fruit through us, but then we can give that out and we can be able to deliver to those and we can be able to just be effective for the kingdom. And I thought about this week too. When I was little, younger, we had telephones that plugged in. Like, they're just connected to the wall. You couldn't take it, walk, and go anywhere with it. Like, there were pros and cons to that. It was kind of a pain that you couldn't walk around with it. But you could also pick up that phone anytime, unless a storm had come or something. But you could pick it up, and you didn't have to check the battery to see if it was going to be able to be used or not. And when we're plugged into the source the way we need to be, we don't have to check the battery. We don't have to check and see if, oh, man, am I going to have enough empathy? Am I going to have enough patience? Am I going to have enough of any of the Bible calls it long-suffering in the King James. Am I going to be able to have enough of that today? When we're plugged in right, we are always going to have that abundant supply. We're always going to have enough, and we're always going to have what we need through Him. But we talk about the crux of this is providence, and the crux of this is talking about that source. And I think it's so easy to go back to that and to go back into whether it's we decide we can just generate that power on our own, or we just try to charge up and run on that charge for a while. But when we remember who the source of our power is, and we remember what that means for our Christian walk, it makes us so much more vital and so much more alive and so much more able to minister to those around us. And I know, like I said tonight, this whole series for me, if it hasn't been helpful to you, it's been helpful to me. It's kind of been a journey for me to understand what it means to tap into the power that God has for us. And I want to go back over it with you guys tonight and just talk about how we need to, what each one of those pillars looks like again shortly, and what that means. And we went over it just briefly before, but the first pillar that we talked about was the preparation for the power. And I know in going to the gym and exercising and all those things, you have to prepare your body to be able to lift heavy weight. You can get progressively stronger, but if I were to go into the gym and lift twice what I do right now and try to do that, my body wouldn't be ready for it. But in 6 or 8 months of continued work and continued preparation, my body would be ready for it. And God does the same thing with us spiritually. He doesn't just dump a whole bunch of stuff on us because He knows we can't handle it. He knows that there are times in our life where we can only take little bits here and there. And that's what our preparation helps us with, to remember to follow directions. And we talked about that. My 4-year-old doesn't do quite as well as following directions as my 8-year-old does. Moses had to learn to do that before he was affected by God. We have to remember to prepare our faith, to increase that faith, to believe that God can do what He said He was going to do. No matter how immeasurably ridiculous it sounds, He can do it because He's God. He's bigger. He knows no bounds. We talked about that. And then the last time, we had to prepare to fight. And we talked about David and how critical it was that he prepared himself before he met Goliath. He was able to protect his sheep by killing a lion and a bear, and he knew that he had confidence in his abilities of what he had done and and God's protection over him because he had prepared before he got to the fight. And it's critical for us to remember that, to remember to prepare to fight. Because there are going to be times in our life where we have to fight and we kind of have to claw, and we kind of have to work to keep that power that God has for us and to get ready for that as well. Then a couple weeks after that, we talked about the perseverance and how critical it is to persevere. And the question of that message was, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? That was what, and still just what I remember when I think about perseverance. How bad do you want God to save your family? How bad do you want God to save your coworkers or to change the environment that you live or work in? If you want it bad enough, you're going to persevere. And there are times where we just have to keep walking like Joshua did. There are times where we just have to keep worshiping in the midst of a storm like Job did. And there are times where we just have to have the willpower to be different, to be set apart, and to be kind of that peculiar people that the Word tells us about. And holiness, and the word holy, is to be set apart. And sometimes it takes some effort and it takes some willpower to be a little different. And that's what God ends up blessing is us, and that resiliency to say, no, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this to do this. And we remember we talked about the scripture to ask, seek, and knock. And most of my Christian life, I hadn't read it in the Holman Bible before, but it said, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. It's a repetitive thing. To go further, we have to keep following those processes. And to go further into God, what God wants us to do, we have to keep doing those things. We don't just stop at the one time where we ask God to come live in our heart, and we ask Jesus to save us from our sins. And then we seek out a new life, and then maybe we knock once or twice. It's not about that anymore. It's continuing to ask God to to help us as we try to repent from a sin we're struggling with and to seek out what God wants us to do each and every day. Because His mercies are new every morning, and what He does, what He wants us to do, it may be different every single day. And when we take that initiative, when we take that passion to go forward like that, and no matter what, we're going to keep asking, we're going to keep seeking, we're going to keep knocking. We have that perseverance. We want it bad. We really want to show God we want it bad. He begins to bless that and begins to allow us to tap into that power. And then the last thing, like we talked about tonight, the providence, the protection, provision, and care that is divine in nature. And, you know, I feel like as Americans, we know protection, provision, and care pretty well, but it's only because we're kind of spoiled in the lifestyle that we're able to lead. We don't have to seek God to think about where we're going to sleep tonight. We don't have to seek God to figure out what we're going to eat most days. Some of us may struggle with that, and I pray that we can help you out if you have those issues as well. But we're spoiled a lot of times, and we don't have to think about those things. But when we remember that literally every single breath we take is conducted by God, and every single movement and twitch and everything that our body does is a miracle that God set in motion a long time ago. The completely, ridiculously idiopathic way that our brain can take electrical impulses and conceptualize them into thought is just unbelievable and can only be made by God. And when we step back and begin to look at that and we begin to say, yeah, I can't really do much of this on my own. There's no really way I can do this. And if I try, it's not very effective. How many of you guys have been on the other side of one of those cliche things? You know, you feel like you're really struggling with something and you go to meet a brother or sister and they give you one of those things that you can find on a bracelet at what Lifeway used to be. It doesn't work. It feels empty. It feels like they're not invested. It feels like they don't really care. There's no empathy there. But how many times have you gone to a brother or sister and you've asked them for help and they've given you that heartfelt response? They've given you that response that you know was from God, and you know that because of their relationship with God, they were able to give you something real. And it may be the exact same phrase, but with a heart that is tied to Him and with a spirit that is plugged in right there into that vine, it makes a huge difference. It makes it so much more impactful. It makes it so much more life-changing when we're given it directly from the source. It's so much sweeter to pick vegetables from your own garden than it is to go buy them from a can and eat them out of a can. When we're plugged into the source and we're able to give that firsthand, it's not some kind of synthetic version and recreation, remanufactured, terrestrial way of doing it. It's that divine nature that we tap into. I want to encourage you guys that when you do feel powerless, to go back and to look at these things, because it's easy. It's easy to feel powerless. It's easy to feel like as one person, sometimes we're more isolated now than we used to be. As one person, we can't make a difference. As one person, we can't do this. We can't do that. We can't change the narrative as one person. But if you begin to change the narrative around you and in your circle, that impacts others to change theirs. And it impacts others to see the kingdom progress and to watch souls be saved and to watch lives be changed and to see people healed and to see people delivered from addiction and depression and all the things that they struggle with. I really want to encourage you to be that change, to be the one that shows the difference, to be the one who knows where their power comes from. And I want to remind you tonight that the God we serve is the most powerful thing ever. He is power. He is strength. He doesn't just have it. He is those things. He was the creator. He's the finisher. He's the author, the finisher. He's all of the things in between. There's nothing that's under Him that He is not over. I know that was, you're like, wow, Logan, that was deep. But when you think about that, there's nothing that He sees in front of Him. There's nothing that He sees below Him that He's not a conqueror of, that He hasn't already defeated. And I want to just encourage you tonight to understand that and to maybe go back to this, look through the archives on the messages, or maybe take some notes and as you've taken those notes, go back and look at those and allow God to help you remember what it's like to tap into the power that He has. So I want to close with prayer with you guys tonight, and we'll go from there. God, I thank you for today, and I just thank you for this opportunity to deliver a word of encouragement and a word of challenge, too, to remind us that being a Christian is not just being a Christian on Sundays and Wednesdays and then trying to coast and trying to make our way through those other days of the week. Being a Christian is being Christ-like, and being a Christian is part of being part of your bride, the bride of Christ, and you being that bridegroom, God. And we want that relationship with you and that union with you that allows us to be connected to you. And God, I pray that you help us to remember that and help us to remember how important that is, even when it's smooth sailing and even when it's not super critical, that we're pleading with you to fix our cause or to help us with this monster issue we're having. I pray, God, that you would help us to remember that you are the source of all the power that we have. You are literally the thing that brings us life. And you created that from the dust of the earth. So incredible. I pray, God, that you would help us to remember when we're plugged into you and when we're tapped into you and when we talk to you through the day and we pray through the day multiple times a day and we try to read our Bible and it's not these big, fancy, eloquent prayers. It's just like seeing the things around us and thanking you when we see them, or seeing an issue in front of us and asking you to be a part of it, and looking at the blessings we see around us and just remembering how good you are to us and trying to vocalize those things. And that helps as we continue to communicate with you to keep that union right and to keep that connection good. And it keeps us to where we can bear fruit and we can deliver those things. As that connection severs, God, I pray that you would help us to feel that, God, and do our best to repair that and do our best to fix that so we're not locked off by the husbandman and thrown into the fire. Help us to remember that it's being close to you that helps us to be effective. And when we're effective, we can see souls saved. And when we're effective, we can see lives changed around us for the better. I thank you, God, for this church, and I thank you for the opportunities that we have to minister to those around us. I pray, God, as church members, we would take it upon ourselves to minister to those we come in contact with individually. John Wesley said, I think it was John Wesley, I remember he said, preach all the time, but open your mouth only if you have to. That's paraphrasing, but I'm reminded of that, God, and I pray that you would help us to see those opportunities and to seize those as well. Thank you for who you are, for what you do, and for what you're going to do in our lives. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so next week we're here. The week after that, I think, is a business meeting. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. It's a surprise. So be excited about that. Yeah, type some emojis in the chat about that, some party hats and all kinds of stuff. But we'll be excited about it. I know I am. Hopefully you are too. I hope you have a great week, and I'll be praying for you and be praying that you can find that power that God has for you. And remember, we have access to unlimited power. Hope you guys have a good week. Thanks.